This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
PopX Cast.
Live on PopX Cast. What's up, Jordan Woods Robinson? Where hey, is buddy. My co-host with the most? Get in here, Daniel. Where you at?
I think I kicked him off accidentally.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm so excited. This is crazy. Kind of done a little pre-show, got everybody amped up, got everybody hyped up. But we are live. This is our debut podcast here live on Blab. And this is so exciting, Daniel. It's been, what, weeks, months in the making?
It has been. It has been a wild ride. I am excited to finally get this show on the road here and finally get to meet Jordan. It is great. Let's kick this off, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, Jordan and I have known each other for quite some time, probably like 2007, 2008-ish, perhaps.
2007, 2008 years. Yeah. It's been a while.
So, wow, this is really bizarre. This is just kind of like retrospective for me. It's just mind-blowing. But thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on the podcast first and foremost and taking some time out to just chat with a bunch of geeks about geek culture. That's what
totally,
we do.
Man. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here right now. And I'm sorry, I think I was supposed to come on a little bit later. So I totally photobombed the whole beginning. I just had little dance
well,
parties.
Jordan, you're allowed to photobomb. You know what I'm saying? You do what you need to do. You do what you have to do. You're Jordan Woods Robinson.
It was a great intro. You know, I was impressed.
Me too, man. I didn't figure out how you do that.
It was a glorious spectacle. But all right, so we're going to dive right into it. Jordan, I just want to know right off the top of the bat, how did you get involved with The Walking Dead? I mean, we're just going to dive straight into it. Okay.
Yeah,
headlong. Right,
yeah, we're going into it. So I've been an actor in the Southeast. I live in Florida along with Joe. And Daniel, are you in the Southeast as well?
I am actually Northeast, right outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm in the Southeast and I've been a Blue Man here for 8 years now. And when I came here, I didn't know that there was going to be such a thriving film and television scene. And there's actually a great opportunity for actors to audition for some really cool projects going on, one of which is The Walking Dead. So just like a bunch of other, you know, things come through the pipeline, I got the opportunity to audition for the show. And I think I went on tape. So we'll put ourselves on tape, you know, that the actors will get sent a script and you have to memorize the lines and do your actory thing and then turn on a camera and then send it off to casting directors and agents and producers and everybody else. And and I had done that maybe for three or four other characters throughout the show. And then I auditioned for one role. And you never know what role it is. They never tell you. They actually go through great lengths to make it completely impossible to know who you're going to be cast as, because the show has this great following, and because you can kind of, if you're familiar with the graphic novels, which many of us are, then you're going to be able to, you know, if anything gets leaked, then you're going to be able to form a pretty good hypothesis of what's going on in the show when they're filming it. So they don't tell you anything. And I auditioned for what turned out to be Aaron's character, but I didn't know it at the time. And my agent reached out and said, hey, it's a no-go, but the next week they She called me back and she said, the producers want you to audition for this week, this character that's just come out. And I said, okay, but I'm on vacation. I'm in rural Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. I'm at a family vacation and I don't have access to internet. I don't have all this stuff. And so I tape it at my wife's grandparents in their kitchen. I tape the scene and I send it off. I found a way to send it off. And then I didn't hear anything for a week. And then, I heard, hey, we need you to retape it. So then I redid it and took some notes. And then I got a call saying, hey, you didn't get it. And I was like, well, that happens, you know. And then I got a call back 5 minutes later saying, hey, wait, you're still on the table. There's actually a big dispute going on. They're torn between you and one other guy. And dispute's the wrong word. But, you know, just like they're so good at finding, you know, really searching to find the right person to tell the story that they want to tell, right?
And right.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes the show so incredible is that they're always willing to do whatever they need to do in order to tell the story that they need to tell.
Yeah.
And so it came down to The Wire. Like I finally got the call at, I want to say 6 p.m. on a Wednesday, and I had to be in Atlanta by 4 p.m. on Thursday. And so they're just like, hey, you booked it. We need you up here tomorrow, you know, within 24 hours. And then it's just a whirlwind after that. And it's been incredible. The show is just fantastic. And it's so awesome to get to work with everybody.
Oh, it is.
That's a crazy story. So you were in a rural situation and but somehow it was pulled off, and as fate would have it, boom.
And you know what? That's one of my friends put it a really good way. She said, because I came to her and I was like, I can't believe I did this, but I'm just stressing out. I'm completely just like, I'm pulling my hair out, and I hardly slept that night. And she said, you know, that just means that the universe is going to take care of you, but it's also going to take a couple of years off your life in the process.
It's kind of a big deal.
It's a bit of a big deal. You know, I'm actually about to say here, you know, in this scene where you first appear, this is a major transition scene in this group in this story. You know, they don't trust Aaron whatsoever. You know, he's forcing Aaron to eat the baby food. The applesauce. He doesn't want to eat. He doesn't like applesauce. And he's telling him some story about his grandma. And it's like, are you really going to try to pull that on me? You know, and then, you know, they meet you. And they see the connection between you guys, you know, it seems to soften everybody up in the scene and like bring that bit of trust to everybody else except Rick. And it really was, when I took a really good look at it, a big transition for the group and you know, a big turn for the season. So you know, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what was it like working with all those guys? You know, I guess Andrew, you know,
Norman
and
Ross.
All those guys. And Ross, you know, how was that?
Well, it's been fantastic. And to go back to what you said about the story, it's very true. Like, I think Aaron and Eric are bringing this story of love and trust to a community that hasn't, you know, Rick's group hasn't seen that for years. They haven't seen like true, like they're primal and they're ready to fight for each other and they're ready to put their lives on the line, but they're not. It's different when it's, you know, this trust and this vulnerability that they don't have that right now, you know? And so they're almost feral animals out trying to survive. And then they come across these people that are actually able to let some of that go and just be with each other for a little while. So that was a cool story that, you know, Ross and I actually met each other with just a couple hours before we had to film the scene. We sat together and we sat out on the porch on the hotel where we were staying. And we just sat and we had some drinks and we just got to know each other and got to know what our family, you know, just tried to be friends. That was the main thing. And then we showed up on set and we got to, you know, take this awesome script that was so good on the page and just basically say the lines and just trust that if we're friends and if we really care about each other, then just saying these words will allow the whole thing to come to life really nicely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's everybody on set is just incredible. Everybody is so dedicated to the show and to their character and just so it's really warm. It's definitely when I first came into the show, I heard that everyone referred to the Walking Dead cast and crew as a family, and the fandom. It's a family, the TWD family, hashtag, yeah. You know, the whole nine yards. And I was like, oh, that's cute. They call themselves a family. You know, like, it's a, at worst, it's a marketing ploy. At best, it's like, oh, they really, you know, they really believe that. But once I got immersed in that culture and actually got to meet the cast and crew and actually got to start meeting the fandom, I was blown away that it really is like that. Like they, I think the show is so intense and being on set is so intense and, it's almost, you know, it's apocalyptic. It's, there's almost a, there's some heavy stuff going on, you know? And so I think whenever the cameras aren't rolling and whenever they can let loose, everyone has this really just brotherly, familial love and respect for each other and wanting to help make sure that everybody's good and really connecting and really wanting to share and really wanting to make each other laugh and all that stuff. Cause, you know, they're trying to even out their lives. Cause once it rolls, it's such high octane. And then once they stop, then they try to get some of that humanity back into their lives.
Right. That's yeah. Right. I remember when, Beth, left the, you know, the scene, she came onto The Talking Dead and, you know, she was just, you know, bawling her eyes out because she's like, you know, I feel like I'm leaving my family, you know what I mean? And, I really did. I think that's amazing. How that all comes
Jordan,
together.
You know, I've got, you know, talking about Walking Dead and we're going to be moving on to many facets and many phases because there's many things that you do. And we're going to kind of slowly kind of tip the iceberg of each many hats that you wear. To date, I know that you can't speak on too much on the latter half of season six, but what the public has seen, what has been your favorite scene to film?
Okay, so I'll say a couple things on that. I thought up until season six started, I thought season five was my favorite, just in the series in general. I thought five was my favorite. And then once six started, it just blew me out of the water. I think it's absolutely incredible. For what I've seen, I will also say, and this is going to sound, well, I don't know how this will sound, but it's interesting that I've actually filmed more than we've seen of Eric in season six. And actually I filmed a number of scenes that have just gotten cut out. You know, they haven't made it into the final script. And, you know, without going into too much detail, I think that's another amazing thing that the production team is doing. You know, it, from an actor standpoint, sure, I can be like, oh, I wonder why they did that. I can have lots of questions. But then I watch the episodes and the stories are so captivating and so intense and just like I just get sucked into them that then I have a hard time like imagining what the episode would have been like if my scene had been in it, you know? So it's like I think it's a really incredible thing that the team is doing where they're filming more than they need or more than they have time allotted for, I suppose. In order to then be able to look back and say, okay, what can we do to tell the best story? And I think that's really cool. So that's one way of answering your question. The second way is just telling you that the spaghetti scene was a lot of fun. And I know that.
That was my next question. Yeah. Oh man, I really wanted to ask, like, how was that? That must have been so much fun. He's just piling that. He is mowing that stuff down. Like, it is incredible.
You saw one take of what he did. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
we shot it probably four or five times, and each time he ate that much spaghetti. You know, where he just shoveled it in, and then in between takes, they come and load up his plate again. I think by the fourth or fifth take, he's like,
like, just give me a little bit.
It's funny because, like, even on your face as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, now that I look back, it's like you were genuinely just like, this is hilarious watching this guy just, you know, mow this food right down. He didn't even breathe. He inhaled it. It was great.
Yeah. And I love it. Joe, you just put up a little gif of me smiling. I have no idea how you're doing this.
Your look, man. Look at that. Look, you're just like, Norman. Yes. Oh, yes, Norman. The look says it all, though. But
it's easy to do, man. It's easy to love Norman and the Daryl character because, I mean, obviously, like, the dude wasn't even in the graphic novels, and now America and the world loves him. You know, he's made the show for so many people, and it it's just such a cool dynamic. So it's easy to get on set and get into a scene with them and just be like, yep, I don't have to, I can just smile and just enjoy what's going on.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Well, I kind of on that note and about the scene and about your role on The Walking Dead, Jordan,
yeah.
The role and the character that you play is, shall we say, culturally diverse. And you're bringing a brand new element to an apocalyptic environment that has not yet been scripted and written. Sure. It has been in the comics, but not on television. Yeah. How does it feel embracing that? Because you're kind of
paving away,
paving it, you know, for a society and a culture and just a thing that's going on right now. And I think it's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's a huge honor for me to play the first openly gay male couple on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten similar questions, and for me, it's not, you know, again, it goes back to that story of love and compassion and trust and just something that we haven't seen that in itself. We haven't seen that in the story in years, since like season one, you know, and so the license plates, just this couple, you know, Ross and I talked about this a lot, that going back to just having people that knew each other before the apocalypse, before all this happened, you know, the people that were a couple before the world went to crazy, you know, and so being able to play that story is great. But then, you know, I've had so many people that associate themselves with the LGBT community, either as allies or as members, and so many people, I've gotten so many just wonderful emails and hugs and great stuff going on with people reaching out and just talking about how much it means to them to have this couple, you know, in the show, in this majorly sought after, just popular show, and how much it meant to them to be, you know, to feel that representation going on and that love, and to see it presented in such a caring and strong way. I mean, that's the other thing in the graphic novels, like Aaron and Eric are the protectors of Alexandria. You know, they're the guys who go out there and get stuff done. They will, you know, bring in the good guys and get rid of the bad guys, you know, and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't necessarily have to do with, you know, any stereotypes or anything going on. These are two guys that love each other very much, and they will protect their family and they will protect their friends. And then when the, you know, when they're behind the wall, then they feel safe enough to be able to, you know, to be able to be themselves. And I think that's also what draws us to Norman in the spaghetti scene, is that we see him as this outsider. We see him as a guy that has always kind of ridden the fringe of being accepted in society. You know, he's had his times, even with the group early on. He's always just kind of on the outside. And we see that, and we want to help, you know, just let him know that we understand. We've been through that. We've had those experiences in our lifetime, and we want to let you know that we're here for you, and that we will support you, you know, and I think that's just really powerful. And I think a lot of people resonated with that either on that level that I spoke, or just on some level that, you know, that they caught on to it. And I think that meant a lot to a lot of people.
I personally applaud you, man. I applaud you for taking on that role. That is just freaking awesome. I mean, just seeing you in that role and just owning it.
Mm-hmm. If I could add one thing too to what you were saying, it also shows the foolish things we do when we are in love. You know, because that whole scene is you breaking your ankle or spraining it because you went out to you know, because you were worried about Aaron and you weren't supposed to, and you ended up doing something stupid, and a truck rolled over your ankle.
Right,
and it just goes to show, you know, the mistakes that we can make. When you're not even mistakes, but just the foolish things that we tend to do when our heart is leading us, you know,
it's when you put someone else in front of you, when you put someone before you, and you,
yeah, exactly.
Then you stop thinking about yourself, you know, when you're truly caring about someone else and doing something because it's going to help them, because you're so worried about them that you stop thinking about yourself. Then yeah, you can end up under a car surrounded by roamers. And
exactly. I love how you guys call them roamers, and then, you know, they call them walkers. I love that little difference between like groups that have been surviving, you know?
Yeah. That's
really cool. So, too, you know, we've been talking a good 20 minutes on Walking Dead and we're going to, Jordan, if you can, right towards the end, if you can stay around for like maybe 3 or 4 minutes and sure. maybe answer some questions. But I want to kind of start transgressing into you some of your multifaceted talents and just kind of going down that avenue if I can.
Great.
Now, Walking Dead is just one part of who you are. You also played a small role on The Hunger Games.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Somebody just put up a Hunger Games logo, which is really funny.
Look at that.
Very small role. So I played President Snow's stylist. I was in the first, I was in Mockingjay Part 1. And literally, okay. if you blink, you'll probably miss me. I was basically an extra, but that role was the culmination of 6 months of auditions and callbacks and costume fittings and all this other stuff. So it was this really, and I auditioned with lines and as an actor and had callbacks driving up to Atlanta and standing in a room and all that, you know, like I was a principal actor in the film, but I had no lines on set. And I just, I stood there and I shaved Donald Sutherland's face. So,
but you made him bleed.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I was the guy who drew blood on President Snow.
That is so great.
But it was incredible. And that was another example of where, Lawrence, forgive me, everyone, for dropping his last name. Lawrence.
It's an F, I know. Pause for this moment to tweet.
Yeah, everyone's booing me right now.
No, go ahead, man. You're fine.
Look at Twitter.
But again, like, this is the guy who's in charge of this huge brand all of a sudden. You know, The Hunger Games is massive. And he's taking the time, you know, 6 months of casting and looking over all the things to dedicate it to this one small character that shows up for these 10 seconds in the script in order to make sure that, you know, that, again, they have the right person for the job in order to do that. And it's just like, it blows me away, the amount of detail.
So much detail. So much. Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Daniel, did you have any questions involving any more on The Hunger Games or?
I think I'm pretty questioned out. I really just want to thank you, Jordan, for being my first interview.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, man.
Well, we're going to kind of actually now go down one of his avenues, which is a Blue Man.
Yes.
And so how long have you been a Blue Man in the Blue Man group?
I started in 2007. I started in New York, and then I went to I've done all of the U.S. cities, so Boston, New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, and Orlando. And I've been in Orlando now for about 8 years, and that's where I met Joe, who we met at the show, right?
We did. We met at the show at one of the events that I was hosting in 2008.
Okay.
I think.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I was introduced to what the Blue Man group was through the television show Scrubs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's hilarious. That was filmed in Las Vegas, and some of my friends are the three guys that were doing that. So it's great.
That's awesome.
But, I've been doing it since college, and, it was in my, to sound really businessy, it was within my 5-year plan of graduating acting school in New York. And, it actually ended up being more like within 2 weeks I was in and training for the show. And then I haven't looked back since, you know, I've just been plugging along. So it's been fantastic. That it's a dream job, and it allows for the flexibility to still be able to work on other parts of your career, such as recording my own music and doing film and TV projects as they come up. And then you still have this incredibly fulfilling acting and music job to come back to at the end of the day, because they also know that, you know, the more you get to work on outside projects, the more life it's going to bring back to the show, which I think is a really smart way of looking at it.
One of the most impressive things I've seen you do involving the Blue Man Group in a while was the autism show that you guys done recently.
Yeah.
Where you done the low lighting, you didn't get close to them. You were just, hats off to Blue Man Group and the whole company for doing that.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Yeah. That was
Autism Speaks. I think it was. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it was partnered with Autism Speaks, and we had, we've actually performed a sensory awareness show in many of our cities.
Can you explain that a little bit, what sensory awareness is, to people that don't?
Yeah, know it's what that is? So individuals on the autistic spectrum are there are many different factors that come into play, and you know the spectrum is vast, and so there's no easy way to say like, oh, we'll just, you know, make this easy tweak and make that tweak, but in general. It helps if we turn the lights down, if we make sure there aren't as many drastic changes suddenly. So, music going from super loud to super soft to super loud again.
Right. Okay.
Stuff like that. So trying to just soften the experience a little bit, having a safe space inside the theater
that's awesome.
Where individuals and their families could go sit with beanbags and with, just a little private area where they could get away from it for a little while if they needed to. And being aware of that social connection. You know, the Blue Man is very much in touch with wanting to connect with people. And, you know, he would also be very aware that certain people might not want to have such an in-your-face experience, or they might not want to be touched, or they might not want to be, might not be wanting to sit in a chair and have a Blue Man walk over you. And so just being aware of all of that, and that show is actually super rewarding because everyone really did have this genuine excitement to be there. Because everyone knew that this was a show for them.
I was just going to say, Alex and I were at a show just like a month ago, and the 6 p.m. show, we were at the 9. As they were walking out, I just remember seeing all the smiles mm-hmm. on the kids' faces and the families. Mm-hmm. And I know that I had an inclination of what you guys did, and I knew it was just awesome. And it's just hats off to you guys. It's truly amazing changed your show up. You changed it up for the cause, and that's beautiful. That's humbling. I love that, man. Thank you so much for what you do.
It was, I'll just say, likewise. You know, it was on the from a 360 or 180 or I guess 180.
However, yeah.
It was equally rewarding for us and humbling, and to see how many people that were just all smiles and hugs and we've heard so much feedback of people saying, my son hardly ever speaks, but after the show he was just talking a mile a minute because he was just reinvigorated, so
that's great.
Yeah. Well, it's we're coming up on about 30 minutes and I want to hit on SOS Studios.
Okay.
All right, so cool. I have been involved with Jordan for the past 3 years?
I want to say 3.
3 years?
Yeah.
As a a web musician?
I say collaborator.
Collaborator. Okay.
Yeah. So
you've got the terminology, I don't, but I'm going to let you run with this one, Jordan.
Ooh.
Catch up.
Ooh.
So I started up a project and a website called sosstudio.co. It's one word, sosstudio.co. And Joe's been a part of it, and a number of other musicians and songwriters that I've met throughout my years, either as a musician in East Tennessee or in Blue Man Group. And it all started off as a challenge for us to just write new music and to get it out there and to send out a song and then have a bunch of professional collaborators and musicians and singers all lay down their ideas on it. And then a mixer takes it and puts it into a finished version. And then we send it out to the world to hear. And it's just a way of getting the ideas out of your head and fully realizing them so that you can make room for the next idea to come through. Wow. And we got this great efficiency with it. We created some incredible stuff over the years. I think at this point we've put out like 6 albums or something, just of doing one song mm-hmm. a week and then mm-hmm. just putting it out, but now we've officially, it was always a private group, and now we've officially opened it up to the public, and we are calling ourselves an online community for great songwriters. And the idea is you can join as a member. It's $5 a month. You get unlimited distribution for your music. So anything you've ever written or will write in the future, it will go to iTunes and Amazon, Spotify, Google Play, Shazam, whatever all those crazy things are, iTunes Music, Apple Music, I guess it is. And so for unlimited, you get $5 a month. And then it's also a forum of other songwriters sharing resources and experiences. And lastly, we're still offering that music virtual recording studio situation so that you can put up a scratch track, just your voice and a guitar. You upload that, and then it goes into our network, and a drummer will lay down tracks, and then a bass player, and then some background vocalists, and then I'll lay down violins, and then a guy will lay down some guitars. And then when it's all finished, then we'll mix it, and then we'll master it, and then we'll put it out there for you so that you can continue to grow your discography and to engage your fans. Because I think that's where it's all at, man. I think independent artists need to continue putting out great stuff because
that's one of the things that I loved about it, though, because I could literally be across the country, upload my tracks to SOS, and for the, like you said, we put out a scratch once a week, and then all these musicians and collaborators come together and pull in their vocal talents, their musician skills, whatever mixing, whatever it is that they do. And it's just, it's really humbling to be a part of that. And I'm so proud to actually have two songs listed with SOS Studios. I love it. And I'm looking for number three this year. So it's so fun. Thank you so much. It's a blessing being a part of that. And be sure to check it out. I did paste the link over. I will paste it once more for you. It's sosstudio.co. Be sure to check that out. Now, what I'm going to do now is, are we good for a couple questions, Jordan?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. I already see, when does Jordan sleep doing all these things? And I got to say, I don't really.
He doesn't sleep. That's it. He just.
I'm telling you, I'm suffering from a little sleep deprivation myself after last night. Yeah.
What was last night? Wait, what
happened? We had just a wonderful thing happened last night where a bunch of people came together in this network and really helped me jumpstart my.
He's being humble about it, Jordan. We all got together and we raised over $1,000 so we can get a laptop.
Yes. Awesome,
yeah, it was incredibly amazing. The people. Yeah,
he's trying to be humble about it. So he's trying to take the humble approach. But I'm going to open up the seat right now. If anybody wants to call in and ask Jordan a question on his all of his many multi facets, go ahead and hop in the seat right now. You're more than welcome to.
Yes, please.
We'll continue on. But I just wanted to give this time and a chance for people if you have any questions. It's just so much that you do. It's crazy. I mean, especially when you live close, which is kind of cool, and I get to see you pretty often. So it's really neat to be able to interact with you on this platform as well as in IRL, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, real
real life.
Real life. Man. Awesome. I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't name. Okay. And, you know, I'm also doing I'm answering some questions through the little chat window here. So, trying to figure
is
out.
Is Jordan going to be a regular blabber now?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right.
We'll have to figure that out. With your show, we'll have to figure it out. You know, maybe I can come on every once in a while. But I do some blabs myself, too.
I know. What's see? Up? I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it with my with SOS Studio. I'll do some blabs every once in a while. They're usually more geared toward independent artists, music production, that kind of stuff. So, but the conversations are always good, and you know, people always jump in and offer their insights. So,
I got a really good question right here by Mr. Jason Crocker. Let's see here. We've got
a great question.
You have a regimented schedule, and how do you make sure to give all of your endeavors appropriate attention?
That's a great question, Jason. And I'm the least scheduled person you'll probably ever meet. That might not be true, but I wear a lot of hats and I burn the candle at many multiple ends. But something that I came up with recently that really helped me as a non planner, helped me wrap my mind around, scheduling all of your endeavors appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that okay? So think of it this way. Think you're walking down a street, excuse me, and you go into a house, and the first house you go into is filled with nothing but musical instruments, right? So you go into that house and you say, I'm going to stay in this house for 2 hours, and you can do anything you want inside that house. You can play music, you can record music, you can just tune and change strings, whatever you need to do, but as long as it's associated with those things. And then at the end of 2 hours, then you walk out of there. And then you go into the next house, and the next house just has this amazing kitchen with the best food you can think of. And you go in and you just stay there for a half an hour and you eat lunch and then you leave that house. Then the next house you go into has everything you need. It has a computer and like unlimited internet and great books and all this other stuff in order to, you know, how to improve your website. And you stay there for an hour. So the way I've thought about it is that I used to thinking about scheduling and being like, oh man, that's cutting down on my creativity. That's stifling my impulse in order to do something. And, but what I discovered is that if you lay it out in a certain way, then it's actually the opposite of stifling. It's just allowing you to focus yourself. So what I'll do is on my calendar, I'll put music goals or something. And then just during those 2 hours, I can work on anything I want to, anything that comes to mind creatively, or, you know, anything that the busiest stuff, the most frantic stuff, the stuff that's really on your mind will always rise to the top. And gotcha. So during those 2 hours, I just work on whatever comes to mind first. And creatively, I live impulsively within those 2 hours. And then when that's done, then I stop. I go have lunch for half an hour, only focus on lunch. And then I'll come back and then I'll work on website goals for an hour. You know, so I'm using the same examples here. But as opposed to, you know, being like, oh, well, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to only write. I'm gonna, like, putting write a song on your calendar is just...
Yeah,
that's just
it's got to be in the moment. You got to feel the flow and you got to feel that spark of creativity. And you do, if you don't have it, you can't force something that's not there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that helps you, Jason, or not, but that's how I do it. I actually have a whole podcast episode on that through SOS Studio. That's another thing. Through SOS, we have a podcast. It's called SOS Studio Sessions and it's on iTunes. Look at me just putting myself in.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was going to ask you to please plug yourself as much as you possibly can right through this chat. I would be more than happy.
Jason Crocker, where's your ebook?
So I'm finding my. I have a whole thing I did on that on how to. I'm going to have to find it. I'll get back to you in just a second. But if you guys
want to hop in the seat, you're more than welcome to. We have an open seat. If anybody wants to hop on cam.
Quick question.
Here we go.
Ask a question.
Here, Jason, check this out. I've got sosstudio.co/session36. And it's called Build a Personal Routine in 5 Steps. And check that out because it talks a little bit about, you know, building your own personal routine and why you need it and how you can do it super simply. Without having to put a lot of thought into it.
Now, I noticed, Jordan, that you do a lot of these podcasts, and they're pre-recorded and they're professionally mixed down. Would you ever think about, you know, doing your recorded, professionally mixed little podcast segments, but doing a live version as well here on Blab? Because there's a great interest in what you do.
Absolutely, I've considered it, and it's probably at this point, it's probably more of fear of change than anything, because I think it's a great setting, you know, and just having to be like, okay, just taking those moments to really plan it out and trying to consider the pros and cons before I jump into it fully.
I got you.
But, you know, other than that, I think it's a great setting. I've been a part of a couple podcasts on here where, it's great for being able to engage with people like Jason and with other people who are commenting right now. Being able to see you guys and talk to you. And then Blab is incredibly powerful that as soon as you're done with this, you can export the audio to, you know, to your computer. You can export the video to YouTube. You can save it onto your website automatically for streaming, like just incredible stuff, you know? So yeah, I think Blab's very helpful with anything like that.
Well, I think everybody's run out of questions, and I think that we're going to release you for the rest of your night to go be with your amazing family.
Awesome.
Is there anything else that you want to plug, Jordan, before you go? Any kind of upcoming projects that I didn't hit on? Or
you know what? So I'm just going to say that come talk to me. I'm very active on Twitter. I'm at J Woods Robinson, and I'm on there every day, and I love to talk on there. So initial J at J Woods Robinson. I'm also on Facebook at Jordan Woods. What happened? What happened?
What happened?
A question came through the chat.
Not right now.
Last thing was, I'm working on an album. I'm going to be putting out a new album later this year. And it's my first full length album of completely original songs. And I'm really excited about it. I've been asking people if they'd be interested in helping crowdfund this thing. I'm trying to think up some great, rewards to give away. I'm talking about, you know, lunches and, you know, dates to a theme park and free albums, of course, and signed autographs and all sorts of other stuff. So I'm looking at teasing that in February. If anyone's interested, I'll have free music and I want to hear what would be a cool idea for a reward and what you'd like to see. So that's my deal.
Well, Jordan, from all of us here at PopX and everybody that's been hanging out, we've been having a really steady stream of people coming in there, and I want to thank everybody for asking questions. And you're such a blessing. Thank you so much for coming on and taking out some time. I appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the Twitter, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please head on over there. And thank you guys. I'm excited to, this is your first episode and it's going incredibly well. So I'm excited to see where all this goes and to be back on here soon.
Thanks again, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. You rock, dude.
Bye guys.
Bye, dude.
See ya.
From everyone at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube at PopX Cast. Get your geek on.